Welcome you. I am your host.
I'm Detective John Kimball.
No, I am not really Detective John Kimball, but we do want to thank you for joining the Native Broadcast Network. We are live or semi-live on the Native Broadcast Network here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We are happy you're joining us today. We have one awesome guest today in the house. Isn't that right, Chewbacca?
It's not wise, I've said a Wookiee.
In all seriousness, folks, we are thankful that you are joining us today on the Native Broadcast Network. Yes, it is a great day to be alive. We're hoping everything is going well with you on this day. If not, we encourage you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the sounds of the Native guy.
Look, I know it sounds crazy. I can hardly believe it myself.
So who is our guest that we have on today? Well, he is Billy Grima. He is a singer-songwriter living in the Caledon Hills of Ontario, Canada. He was born in Blacktown, New South Wales, Australia. Billy started writing at a very young age and was singing in a church choir by the age of 8 years old. At the age of 15, Billy moved to Canada and then he settled there in Toronto. Like most classic singer-songwriters of such as Billy Joel, Jim Croce, James Taylor, Bob Dylan, some greats right there. Life, daily realities, and everyday events are a source of Billy's inspiration, which he has some great inspiration if you listen to some of the songs that he has there on his site. His smooth and soulful sound has earned him comparisons to contemporaries such as Jason Mraz, Ed Sheeran, Jack Johnson, and even Bruno Mars. Billy has 3 albums to his credit, I'm Just Standing, A Little Piece of Heaven, and his latest, entitled Sugar and Cream, produced and engineered by Pete Swan. Sugar and Cream is featured a tasty blend of pop, rock, soul, and Americana, including the first single, Pleasure to Have Met You. The album is going for worldwide radio ads this spring. So without further ado, before we bring on Billy Grima, we are going to play you the sounds of Pleasure to Have Met You. And then on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, pleasure to have met you.
I can't help think about you and me, and how we drive each other wild intentionally. You whisper in my ear, pleasure to have met you, dear. Babe, I must confess, can't get enough of you. Sit by the fire, overlooking the lake, in a little cab, a little hideaway. You turn the radio on as we dance to a song called Sweet Santana. And you say, pleasure to have met you, baby. Walk with your high heels on. Tell me what you're thinking for the night is gone. Babe, I must confess, can't get enough of you. We drank a glass of wine as we sat by the fire. You told me all your secrets and your heart's desire. Now I tell ya, all that's on my mind. Oh my, my. Oh, pleasure to have met you, baby. Oh, how we drive each other crazy. We ain't gonna fight this feeling. It sure feels good. I need you, baby. You drive me crazy. It sure feels good.
Hearty welcome, and that opening song, if your day was moving slow, we hope you're getting moving along now. Our guest, Billy Grima, welcome, and what a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Billy, it's such a great pleasure that you're having. So we were looking over, we're going to jump right into this because we only have a limited time. Looking over your bio, you have a list of great influential artists that you list. You know, some of my personal favorites, such as James Taylor, Dylan there, Croce. So basically, to understand your influences and your music, how do you think these greats have helped shape you as a songwriter today?
Well, just the way they write, their writing, their lyrics are absolutely awesome. And when it comes to the musical parts, they have no limit, you know, the horn sections or, you know, that little saxophone here and there, guitaring, it all blends in and it comes together as a song. So, you know, when I start writing, you know, it could be a little hook, a little piano, could be a melody, or it could be a lyric. And I start putting it together and it just falls into place. I guess from listening to these guys over and over for so many years. You know, I guess they rubbed off on me.
Oh, that's great. And so I want to take you on a little trip in time. So did artists, like, here are some things that you might remember. Rick Springfield, Paul Kelly, Midnight Oil from the late 80s, Kylie Minogue,
yeah.
Country great Keith Urban as well. Did they help inspire your jump in the music industry as an Australian who is now living in Canada?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. They're great artists, you know. They're great artists, and it's amazing because my thing is it's so wide, right? I mean, loving music and being a writer, you learn to like a lot of things because, you know, everybody's creating, and creativity is amazing. So sometimes you hear something that's like it just stands out, and you think like, wow, that's really really cool. And there's always something going on, like, you know, it's like, because there's so much talent out there, right?
There is quite a bit of talent. Just now, how often does it take for you when you're writing songs that to get you inspired as you listen to the different inspirations for your music?
You know, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it just depends on what I'm writing. Like, you know, I got this hook in my head today. First thing I did is I recorded it because I don't want to forget it. That was this morning. When I got home today, just before we hooked up, you and I, another melody came to my head. So I try and take everything that comes to my head, and then I'll kind of dismantle it once I listen to it and start adding stuff to it or whatnot. Inspirations, you know, I mean, I get inspired by a lot of things, daily events, personal stuff, you know, could be a sign on the street. It's never ending.
That's so neat. So I want to talk to you about today in our world in the music industry. You know, as we look at the different various types of music that are entering into the market today, the new ways of getting heard through social media and shows like the Blog Talk Radio Network, as we're bringing you the Native Broadcast Network like mine and others that you've been on, what do you think are some of the hardest obstacles that you've had to overcome as you push forward in your career? And how do you think social media benefits you today in helping get your music more to the mainstream?
It's amazing how it just, like, I'll give you an example. You know, I signed up with Michael Stover not too long ago, and all of a sudden my stuff's getting played, and my videos are being looked at and are being watched. You know, it's amazing. And having feedback from people could be one song, could be another. And it touches people's hearts in different ways. You know, before you knock on doors, and sometimes that door doesn't open. Now it's like having the social media, and you have your internet and Blog Talk Radio. It's absolutely phenomenal.
That is the cool thing about social media, that we're able, like today, to meet you and talk about your work. Our artist is Billy Grima. He is from Ontario, Canada, up there, born there in Australia. He has many inspirations that helped him. You talk about Billy Joel as some of your inspirations. Let's talk about the reaction to the music that you have as you're starting to get your music career off.
Let me see. We got, I just put a video up for Pleasure to Have Met You about a couple of weeks back. It's getting good feedback. But then also I have other videos on YouTube, which actually are touching people's hearts at the same time. One of them would be You Mean the World to Me. It's about my kids, because people can relate to it. Same thing with, and that's written about my three daughters. We're releasing a video for the Armed Forces, tribute to the Armed Forces for Memorial Day. It just carries on. When I write about what I feel and hoping that people can relate to what I write. That's what it boils down to at the end of the day.
I can agree that you write what you feel, and relating, like that opening song we played, Pleasure to Have Met You, that was a great opening song that got me going and ready to move along. And I want to ask you a question here. We're going to get a little personal. Do you ever get nervous when you're performing live or out on the road performing?
The smaller the crowd, the more nervous I get. The bigger the crowd, I think when it's a small crowd, you know, you just feel like you're being watched, really. So the bigger the crowd, the better for me. That's how I see it for me.
Oh, and our producer here who's listening in, he gave me thumbs up. He's a musician himself who is playing in a band. He says he agrees with you, the fewer and the smaller. So let's talk about when you're performing in public. Describe those occasions to you. How does it feel? What is the energy you get?
Once the crowd is out there and it's going, you feel like out of this world. It's especially when you see them singing your songs, you know, and you know, they kind of take over. It's amazing having them, like, you know, we get them to sing. We kind of shut the music down, say, okay, everybody sing along. So they just start singing. It's amazing to see how getting that feedback from the crowd gives you a phenomenal energy. I absolutely love it. We like to interact with the crowd, which, you know, is something that we get people on the stage singing with us, or, you know, sometimes we get them up there dancing. It's just fun. It's all about having fun and having the crowd enjoy it. So the bigger the crowd, like I said, I think the more party atmosphere we get.
That's great. That sounds great. So we want to enjoy listening to you. So here's one question we want to ask you. How do you find time to balance your music with your other obligations that you have, maybe to a job or maybe a mate or a friend or other obligations? How do you manage that?
It's not easy. But, you know, the people I deal with and work with and, you know, hang out with, they know music is really important to me, and they all support me like 120%. They got my back at all times. You know, I know who to call. I needed some help with certain things, they're there. I'll give you an example. Like, I got, we're doing the videos, we're constantly shooting these videos, and like Greg D'Souza, you know, Gregory D'Souza, he's done the videos. He doesn't live close to my place at all, but he's right on the car when he said, let's shoot a video. And like we did the Pleasure to Have Met You, the video, we planned that within 12 hours, and we had the musicians out, coming out, and it was so much fun. It's nice to have that backing. You know, same thing with Pete Swan, you know, my engineer and producer, great guy, and phenomenal musician. So at the end of the day, putting things in order. Music always seems to come first, and my family, of course. We just hang out, and then we have our cooling time. So, you know, we try to have our Fridays where we can just hang out, relax, and just kind of do our thing, you know. Could be here by the fire pit, just having a little fire. Could be anything, just relaxing. But overall, we have things in order.
So I want to ask you another question. What are some of your fondest musical memories as you started here? What are some memories that you're making right now, and what are some things that have helped you as you're going along the way in your musical career?
One thing that always sticks out is having people's reaction to my material, my songs. It could be my sad song, or having somebody to call me and tell me, you know, I just want to tell you that song really touched my heart. My husband was sick, or my wife was sick, and this brought back memories, and I want to thank you. I played my song, Picture of You and Me, which is about the armed forces, to some people, and actually it touched their hearts too, because they've had family members in the armed forces. And like I said, we're going to release that video for Memorial Day, probably by the 22nd of the month, maybe. Stuff like that, you know. Same thing with, I have a song called I Miss You Baby, which was based on friend of mine that had cancer. Same thing. It's just that to me is very rewarding. So yeah, that is very rewarding to me.
Very rewarding. So when you're getting your music sessions ready to go, what makes you think is a good music session? What makes a good session for you, and how long would a practice have to go for a great session?
Well, let me see. For a recording session, you mean?
Yeah, a recording session.
Well, what I like to do is actually when I lay down the bed tracks, do my vocals, then I just take it home, sit on it, listen to it, and then work out on the music a bit more, and then take it back in and kind of do like a pre-finished copy, I would say, or track, and then after that happens, we let it sit for maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, because the ear gets tired hearing the same thing over and over. So what I do is I take it back, and I'll take it back out, put it back in the CD player, and I'll just listen to it over again. And then I start seeing what I've been thinking, like all the things I've missed, all the things I should be adding, what belongs, what doesn't belong. You know, so it takes time. I mean, to finish writing a song, sometimes it takes me an hour, sometimes it takes me months. But when it comes to recording, I always like to take a break between certain things. So once I lay the bed tracks down and the music down, I like to give it a rest and come back to it within maybe 2-3 weeks, just to kind of have fresh ears.
So it takes a lot of work, sounds like, a lot of thought and a lot of process going into it. You know, we're really enjoying visiting with you, Billy, and talking with you, and we've really enjoyed listening to the different music. I want to ask you, since it said you started singing at an early age, was your family, do they have a history of singing, or is it just something that you just found interesting?
Well, my mother always sings in the kitchen, so does my father. He sings Buddy Holly and Fats Domino. My mother's singing Charlie Pride. So that's how I grew up. They always seem to just, you know, sing around the house. I always sang in the shower. It's funny, you know, cause just listening to them singing, and then they've always supported my singing. And like I said, just being singing it since a very young age, I could not let it go. I can't let it go. I love it.
And we've enjoyed visiting with you. We're winding down to our final few minutes. We want to ask you about you yourself, the artist. What are some things that you want to leave with the audience here in the next couple minutes? And tell us, what are the best ways that we can find and listen to your music?
Well, you can find me on YouTube. You can find me on iTunes. You can find me on Facebook. We got Twitter. Or you can also get in touch with me on www.billygrima.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'm hoping that you can enjoy my music. And if there's anything you guys ever have any questions or whatnot, I'd love to hear from you.
So we'd love to get people involved with you, Billy. Those who are listening, maybe later after the podcast, maybe hopefully you can share this, as we've had a pleasure to talk to you. And we want to ask you, before we play the final song, Calendar Girl, what is the inspiration? Actually, and that is an awesome video, by the way.
Thank you. It's funny, that came through just having a hanging out at my friend's house there, and some people came by who was having a get-together, and a lady came up to me. She was just walking by. She looked familiar, so I thought she was somebody that I knew from a restaurant that she worked at. So I asked her. She said, no, I never worked there. So then I don't know why, but she started walking away. I said, I know where. I know where you're from. She turned around. She goes, where? I said, you're my calendar girl. So that's where the title came from. Yeah, it was just, and then that stuck in my head. I said, that's a cool name for a song. So, and then I kind of let it be. I had a melody written up already. So I went fishing about a few weeks later, and here I am with the song. And when it came to the truck, that was my old neighbor's truck. I said, I need a crappy truck, and I borrow your truck. He goes, absolutely. So we borrowed his truck. But it was fun filming that video. I love it.
It is a great video. How long did it take you to make that video?
I would say probably almost a week, actually. Bits and pieces here and there, you know, and takes. We edited a lot of stuff out, so.
That's so awesome. Your music is inspiring. Your music, your tone. I appreciate your music that you have out. It reminded me when I first heard your song. Pleasure to have met you. I started thinking that's why I brought up the group Midnight Oil. They're one of my personal favorites of the past, you know.
Awesome.
And they're really inspirational music, and I can hear that in your sound. That's why it was such an exclusive for me to have you on. That's why I really appreciate that you're joining us. And, you know, we want to let you have this last minute and tell us where we can, again, give us that website where they can find your music. And any final words you'd like to give the audience?
I want to thank you ahead of time for listening to my music. You can find my music on YouTube. Get in touch with me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Or you can go to www.billygrima.com. And you can also find my music on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby. You can sample some of my material on iCloud.
And any final words?
Thank you very much for having me on. And I hope to come out that way sometime and maybe do a live show.
Oh, we'd love to have you here in the Midwest. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our guest. We are thanking him for joining us. Billy Grima is his name. He has a great new release. It is on his website that you can find at www.billygrima.com. We're going to let you go, and we're going to end our show with Calendar Girls. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and enjoy.
Calendar Girl! Ooh. Like honey, you climb the back.